Hello, everyone, and welcome to our year-end episode of Toonami Therapy. It's December 27th, and I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
Okay, and I don't know exactly why, but his voice is sounding a little weird right now. We couldn't really figure out how to fix it, so hopefully it'll sort of clear up, but just so any listener knows that we're aware of it.
Yeah, and I wanted to make an announcement that the blog is coming back. I'm coming out of retirement after a month-long hiatus, and the blog will be fully functional again starting now. And it's going to have a different focus than it used to. Like, it used to be just Toonami stuff. Now I'm going to try to do everything but Toonami on that. So it's just going to be random anime I feel like watching. And if I feel like watching it, then I'll review it. And it all started because I went to see this one anime movie called Mirai. And I watched the movie. I didn't like it very much. And I was like, well, at least I'll be able to write a review about it. And then I realized that I had shut down the blog, so I didn't have any place to review it. So as a result, I brought the blog back, and lots of old features will return to it, and I'll continue to hawk our podcast there, even though it doesn't seem to do very well. But so the blog is back for at least another year, so 2019 is a go.
Yeah, actually, speaking of 2019, something interesting, there's something that's going to happen in 2019 that hasn't happened in the U.S. for, about two decades now. Do you know what it is?
Nope.
Okay, as of January 1st, 2019, everything copyrighted in 1923 will have its copyright expire and enter public domain.
Mm.
Because the way they set the stuff up is everything before, when they did the copyright extension stuff, everything before 1923 ended up, well, almost everything in public domain, and then everything 1923 and onward was copyrighted for 95 years. Things get a little confusing, more complicating stuff copyrighted after 1978, but that's not important, right? Now, except then it took 20 years to actually reach that amount. So now we're doing it. Now I can, now if I want, I can put stuff, the full text of The Great American Novel by William Carlos Williams online. There's not a thing anyone can do about it. Yeah, okay. There's not really that much interesting stuff that was copyrighted in 1923.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the biggest thing is the original novel of Bambi.
Mm.
Probably. Anyway, I just figured that was something interesting there. So, if you want, things are actually starting to finally enter public domain until Disney convinces Congress to, extend stuff longer again so they can keep onto Steamboat Willie as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but none of that's why you guys are here. You're here because, well, I hope you're here, because we're going to be doing our countdown of all the stuff that we covered this year from worst to best, one by one. We've each made our own lists. We haven't really discussed them with each other, although I did kind of put down some predictions for you. I've honestly been kind of looking forward to this for a while. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, so the way we're doing it is, one of us will say which one they have for the place, 17th place, and then the other one will. I don't really know who's going to go first. I'm just going to put it into random.org to decide.
No, why don't you go first? That makes more
sense. Okay. All right. So, we'll begin. So, So we've got 17 shows here. This is including I should mention we didn't count the stuff we kind of had to stop midway through, like Ghost in the Shell season 2. We weren't able to finish because of we couldn't actually watch the thing. Didn't real Space Dandy was also gone. Just like so things like that aren't being counted. But we aren't counting the stuff that we watched that wasn't from Toonami. All right, so my lowest spot. This one was kind of interesting to put here because I suppose I technically got more enjoyment out of this than some of the ones I put before it. But ultimately, I knew this had to be at the bottom because when you get down, because there's something that every other show on this list had that this one doesn't, which is a reason to exist. Fully Cooly, seasons 2 and 3 is my lowest ranked show of this year because it had no reason to exist. It basically, I mean, it wasn't very, it wasn't good really. But like this didn't like continue the story in any appreciable way. The original had a perfectly fine ending where it was, and so already this kind of needed to really justify itself to have be around, but it really didn't. It wasn't very good. It didn't really do much other than take some just kind of stick Haruko. That was her name, right?
Yeah.
Okay, for some reason I was forgetting it. Which is weird, into like these sort of situations, and I don't know, I kind of feel like I've settled my piece on it. It's just, this does not have a reason to exist really outside of, just, making some money. It has no aesthetic reason to exist.
Okay. That's an interesting point because the show I picked for last place is for a similar reason, that I don't think there's any purpose in the show existing. But I want to first lay out how I rank them. I have tiers for these shows. So the lowest tier is shows I hate. The second tier is shows I dislike. Then comes middle of the road, and then overrated but good, and finally truly great shows. So those are the five tiers I'm going with, and the first tier, the show that I hated most out of all the shows I hate, is Pop Team Epic. And Pop Team Epic was simply like, I guess it was anime trying to be one of those variety shows that you can see on, Sunday night on Cartoon Network that make no sense at all, and just pretty much there to try to draw a cheap laugh. But the problem was there was just nothing funny about them, and I don't think I ever laughed once while watching this show. I had to stop watching it halfway through for my own sanity. And, there's just nothing good about Pop Team Epic at all. I've given other shows a 1 out of 10 before, but those shows actually had plots. This show had nothing. It is really a eyesore on the anime community. So, Pop Team Epic, worst show of the year.
Okay. So, number 16 for me. I'm kind of surprised this ended up so low, but ultimately, it's another case of when I look at it, everything above this show had at least like one part of it that I thought was, pretty decent, like at least an episode or even a part of an episode. When it comes to my number 16, Boruto, I can't really think of a single thing about it that I found particularly like entertaining. It's just kind of been there, and not really entertaining to me. Unfortunately, I don't have that much else to say about it. Maybe it'll get better, but so far it's just been pretty dull to me.
Okay, so my second worst show of the year is Mob Psycho 100, and It has to be really bad if I'm going to drop it after only 4 or 5 episodes. Like, I mean, I sat through 13 episodes of Michiko and Hatchin before I chose to quit that. I mean, I sat through 13 episodes of Samurai 7, and you can go through all the shows. I usually give a show about 13 episodes before I get sick of it, and this show couldn't keep me going after its 3rd or 4th episode. So, I think it's trying to be One Punch Man without the one punch part. So maybe you can just call it Man. And it's just, there's nothing interesting about it. And the only thing it has on Top Team Epic is that occasionally there's stuff that could be considered humorous. I may not be laughing, but at least it was an effort to make me, like a good effort to make me not laugh, not like a unintentional humor like Pop Team Epic. So ultimately, Mob Psycho 100 is slightly above Pop Team Epic as my second worst show of the year.
Okay, so for me, number 15 or third weakest show. That one is that one would be in this case Naruto Shippuden. Just so there was so much filler, and that really, really, really brought this down. Like there was so much of all that filler that was just flashbacks to things that never actually happened. Like
right, yeah. I see. I don't mean to disagree with you on it. I'll get to my part later on that. You go ahead. I'll tell you why.
I don't know. That was a problem. But even besides that, when it got to the actual canon stuff, I was just getting bored with it as it went along. And it was really like the only show on Toonami that it was like the main thing that I was just like watching mostly because I was thinking, okay, we're doing the podcast. We're watching all this stuff. I'm going to keep checking this out, and then it just and eventually I was just when we kind of decided, you know, we should actually kind of drop some of the stuff we're not enjoying, I was like, yes, I can finally say goodbye to Naruto. it gets above Boruto in that at least there were a few episodes that I did find like actually pretty good, like some of them good in just because they were so completely insane, like the Shadow Clone Strike episode. by the way, Naruto was actually going to be below Boruto, and that episode managed to move it up a slot for this. And unfortunately, yeah, just I just found it dull, unfortunately.
Okay, my third worst show, that would be Fooly Cooly, which means that Fooly Cooly obviously would win the award for the two of us combined as the worst show of the year because we both, our combined rankings put it lower than anything else.
And just to be clear to everyone, we're talking about seasons 2 and 3. If we were counting season 1, it would be a much higher.
No, it wouldn't. Not for me.
Well, it would be higher for you, I assume.
Maybe. I'm not sure, though. But, Fooly Cooly, these two seasons were just pointless. And they gave me new appreciation for the final episode of Fooly Cooly because whenever the final episode aired, I was kind of upset and I thought that wasn't a good way to end the series. But now I feel like, you know, that wasn't half bad. Fooly Cooly Alternative was, if that would have been put on its own, that might have been even lower than Pop Team Epic. But Fooly Cooly, or which one? Which one am I saying? No.
Progressive was the second. Alternative was the third. I remember this because I made a joke about it being named because I made a, oh God, I can't believe I even remember this joke. I was saying, well, it's called Progressive and it wasn't good. Maybe they're trying to make a statement about progressives, which was actually not really the greatest joke, but I remember it. I remember so many dumb jokes I make.
So Progressive was horrible. Alternative was slightly less horrible. It was at least there. And ultimately, yeah, there was no reason for Fooly Cooly to come back out of retirement. There's a convention I'm going to, which is going to have a panel on the Fooly Cooly sequels, and I'm kind of I've got a perverse interest in wanting to go to that panel and find out what they think about what, like, the masses think of these Fooly Coolies, because who knows, maybe these things are, like, really popular out there. I know, though, that Fooly Cooly is the reason I came in last place in my fantasy anime league. We did this fantasy anime league where you pick anime, and whichever one's got the highest scores would get you points. And the scores were based on what they were ranked on my anime list. Hmm. Well, I finished in last place because I picked both of the Fooly Coolies, so they sunk my rating. Hmm. And so I'm kind of pissed off at Fooly Cooly, and it sucks. So there you have it.
All right. So next for me, number 14. This is one that for a long while, I thought was actually going to be in last place. But it managed to avoid it because one, Fooly Cooly came along, seasons 2 and 3 came along and took that away. But this also did manage to actually have a spiking quality towards the end, which managed to elevate it this high. I'm referring to season 2 of Iron-Blooded Orphans. There were like towards the end some episodes I'm like, wow, I'm actually interested in this. Cool stuff is happening. It's not all underneath a bunch of political stuff that you need a PhD to understand, kind of caring about things, that managed to redeem it. I still redeem it in a sense that it got this high. I still, to this day, am so unsure about whether I think the ending was unintentionally brilliant or whether I actually just really disliked it. Just the way it cuts from, you know, okay, Organ Mizuki die. It's all sad. Oh, and then every single character that's all, the bad guys win, and everything somehow turns out absolutely perfectly for every single character that's still alive. it's just the weirdest thing, and it just happens so suddenly, where we just get this quick explanation. All this stuff happened. Everything was great for everyone. It was so weird, but like I said, that didn't increase or decrease it for me, but so much of it was boring. But again, it did manage to at least sort of turn itself around towards the end, which bumped it up to this spot.
Okay, for me, so number 14 of the year, fourth worst, and the final show of the shows I hate was Mobusuit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans Season 2. And what you said right there pretty much sums it up for me. There's nothing really to add except I think that final episode was the only episode I was able to understand. Mm-hmm. So either, you know, the show is too smart for me, or maybe the show is just a little too convoluted. Maybe that's all there is to it. So there you have it.
Okay. So we get those. Number 13 for me. This one actually, This one, surprisingly, was actually originally going to be a few slots higher, but I changed my mind and moved it down. It's actually probably going to boggle your mind. I might have put this several slots higher than that. But number 13 for me is Pop Team Epic, because despite the fact that most of it was really dumb and not funny, there were some parts in it that I actually did find pretty funny. I always loved the part because they always repeat the episode in the second half of the half hour, and most of the time that's not worth watching at all. But there was one time where they just took the original one and just put a guy on it doing a reaction video to it, which I thought was one of the funniest things the show had ever done. There were some jokes were funny. I always did like those little fake previews they put at the end of the show. Honestly, those by themselves kind of elevated it. But ultimately, it's the fact that I can look at the show and I can say, okay, this is not my thing at all, but it is a bit, it's something different from what all the other shows here are doing. It at least knows what it is. And I originally was going to put it higher, but then I kind of started thinking that, well, part of the reason I might have liked it as much as I did for a certain definition of like was the fact that I usually didn't watch the whole thing. I just watch half of it and then, go do something else instead. And I was thinking, well, maybe I should be evaluating what it would be if I watched the whole half hour, which would have hurt things because I'd be watching the same thing. And also, I think the show works better if you just watch it for a quarter of an hour and then it seems like, okay, it's done. So ultimately, because of that, I did move it down a little to where it is now. Like I said, there were a few funny bits, and honestly, my favorite part of the show always was the fake previews for that slice of life romantic comedy series that it supposedly was always interrupting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we move on to the next one. This is 13th place, and we've moved into the shows I dislike. So these are not shows I really hate, but I do have a dislike for them. So, and we aren't to the neutral zone yet. And this one is Dragon Ball Z Kai. And the reason why this is so low is simple. The stupid Boo arc took forever. And it became obvious pretty early on that Boo was going to lose. But they just kept on dragging it out longer and longer and longer until I had no interest anymore in finding out how Boo got defeated, because Boo just kept on morphing from one thing to another, and it kept going on and on. And by the time this thing was over, I was just like, well, whatever. So I don't really hate the show, but I dislike it. So, it's not very good.
Okay, for me, number 12, that would be Mob Psycho 100, because it did have a few bits I liked, but for the most part, the show was just so much a case of, well, it's there. You know how that guy, some guy supposedly when asked, why do you climb Mount Everest? And someone said, because it's there. Well, why do I watch it? Because it's there. It's between other shows that I watch. it really is just, unfortunately, a weaker version of One Punch Man so far. I mean, I'll admit, maybe it's possible in the last half of this, season, it'll, manage to pull itself around. But I'm evaluating the ones that did air, and that put it here, unfortunately. It was always just consistently just good enough to reach it into this spot, but never really had anything that I was that interested in.
Okay. What are we at, 12 now?
Yes, 12.
Okay, so 12th place for me is Dragon Ball Super. And my reasoning for this is that, well, I lost interest in the show and I had to stop watching it because it was just a waste of my time. Now, it wasn't terrible in the sense of like Pop Team Epic was terrible, but it just felt like a waste of half an hour for me every week. So I had to stop watching, and that's why it's this low on the list.
Okay. Interestingly, I thought you would have Kai and Super in the opposite order. But actually speaking of which, number 11, for me, Dragon Ball Super. Yeah, it's I mean, so much of this year just felt like weak. Like the whole future like arc was just kind of, hey, we went to the future, we went back, we went back to the future, we went back to back, okay, we're in the future again. And then did they go to the future 3 or 4 times? I can't remember. And also the ending's kind of, the series doesn't really like pay that much attention to this, because remember what happens is, so they apparently kill Zamasu, but then he managed to like, recreate himself and becomes all super amazingly powerful. So they then grab Zenu over there to, and who then like basically erases like every thing to stop him. Which means that basically, all those ki remember how we spent all that time about, yeah, we're gonna try to help and save these people from Zamasu and stuff. Well, they all died, or maybe they were all wiped from existence, depending on how you interpret that. And I'm thinking that's really dark, and the series kind of glosses over it. But really, it just was kind of dull and overly long. And then afterwards, things kind of continued being that way with, like, after you left, I can just tell you your opinion of the show I don't think would change for better or for worse. Actually, it might change for slightly worse for all the episodes afterwards, which are basically just all being big build up for like the final arc, which I've at least heard is the best part of the show, so I'm have hopes for that. But again, based on what we saw this year, it was mostly just really long, overly long, not very good. There were the best parts of it were honestly the comic relief episodes, like the one where they played baseball. That was really funny, for example. Or the one with Aureli. That was a fun episode. Those were good, but and that's what managed to sort of elevate it this high up. But the rest of it just was really dull. And honestly, I might, if not for the fact that everyone's said, oh, the final arc, it's the best part of the series, or and people say, oh, you should just skip the rest of the series, go straight to the final arc. If not for that, I might like just be done with it. But I hopefully what people say will be true and the last arc will be better. But in any case, that's where we get for Dragon Ball Super.
Okay. Let's see, number 11. Shows I dislike. Attack on Titan, Season 3. And the reason for this is kind of obvious. See, Attack on Titan is a lot like Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron Blooded Orphans, in that I have a very hard time understanding what's going on. And I'm not a stupid person. I just don't think it's necessary to try to boggle the viewer with all these political things whenever all I really want to see is Titans eating people. And the reason why this show isn't with the other overrated shows is that it's not good. The other overrated shows, they're at least good, but this show isn't good at all. So Yeah, I will never be an Attack on Titan fan. I will never, I mean, unless this season four is as good as everyone, or what would it still be considered season three? I don't know.
It's still part of
But
season three.
yeah,
Season three, part two. You know, like what they did with the final season of Breaking Bad.
well, yeah. I hope Attack on Titan someday gives me a reason to understand like why it's so popular, but until then, I don't like it, and it's this low on this list.
Okay. I'll get into some of my thoughts on Attack on Titan when we reach it for me, but that's not going to be here because we've got number 10, which is Dragon Ball Z Kai, which was a really close contender for Dragon Ball Super, and I honestly such a close contender that I'm suddenly wondering, golly, maybe I should have put them in the opposite order. Maybe I should have done for Super in this spot and Kai one lower. But ultimately, what I think did what brought Kai a little higher than it was more the fact that I felt like it kind of had, even if it didn't have some of like the really good episodes I liked from Super, I feel like it mostly just sort of felt like it had more of a purpose. Because, you know, this, like, you know, there's a story and all this stuff happened and it kind of mattered, whereas all this stuff in Super was just all this like inconsequential filler episodes that just didn't really matter. I don't know if like I said, it was a really tough call, but ultimately I think I put Kai a little above just because ultimately I thought the pacing was a little better.
Okay, we're on to the next one.
Yes.
Okay, so this is number 10. We're now in the top 10, and these are the middle of the road shows. So, no longer do I have a negative disposition towards the show that I'm talking about from the rest of the way in. So, 10th place. I feel bad about putting it here, but I had to. It's Haikyuu. And the reason why Haikyuu is down here is I just was never able to get into it. And I wanted to like it. I wanted to become a fan of it. It seemed to me that whenever it did the volleyball parts, it wasn't interesting enough, but whenever it did the non-volleyball parts, it still wasn't interesting enough. But it wasn't bad. It just never really caught my eye. There was just and you know, maybe too, I didn't like that it was like an all-male show, and that kind of just made it a little dull for me. I don't know, but Haikyuu, it isn't a bad show, but it's just kind of average, which is why it's in the middle of the road category.
Okay. Trying to decide if I want to make any comments on that now or if I should wait till I reach Haikyuu on my list.
No, just wait until you get to it.
Okay, that's fine. Number 9 then for me. Attack on Titan. This season, what we saw this was really not that great. It was it this the so-called po politics arc like a lot, so it's not good. It's the weakest part of the series so far. It's going to be, well, the stuff, some of the stuff that's happened recently in the manga has been really weird, so I'm not sure how I would, but I can only look back, I'd only be able to look back at that once it's done in retrospect. But at least so far, this was like, this is a part that so many people like identify as the weakest part of the manga, and it really was. And the anime kind of tried to like make some changes to improve it, which I didn't think it did in some ways. It picked up the pacing a little, but it also made it more confusing, and it wasn't really that, and it was already kind of confusing in the original. So ultimately, I just found myself through so much of this thinking, okay, like, all right, we're almost at the end of this, and then we can get into the more interesting stuff. Okay. Well, I forgot about this part. We're almost at the end now. Okay, wait, there's this part also. We're almost at the end now. And then we'll finally, at the very end, we did reach the end. We're through what I think is the weakest part of Attack on Titan. I've got some hopes for the next part, but this part was just fairly dull, not that interesting. There were a few things, there were some parts that I kind of liked. But on the whole, it just let me. The whole thing just kind of felt what I was worried it would feel like, which is, all right, let's just get through. We're going to have to get through this. Once this is done, we can get to the stuff that I'm actually excited to see in the anime.
Okay. That sounds pretty good. So now my number nine show is going to be Naruto. And Naruto is again just kind of average. There's nothing about it I hate, but at the same time this show hasn't really given me any reason to get interested in it. I didn't understand the whole thing about the entire Leaf Village is completely decimated and torn down to nothing, yet everyone's throwing Naruto into the air in celebration because he saved their village. I mean, what are they talking about? He didn't save their village. All he did was defeat the enemy once everything was already ruined. Then we've had this ridiculous filler arc, which for some masochistic reason, I've been watching it, and it is just unintentional humor left and right. Naruto and Guy eating mushrooms, or Naruto having all those shadow clones go on strike against them, and then the good old "it was all just a dream." And I guess I want to like Naruto because it was one of the first anime I ever got into whenever I got back into it back in 2007. But unfortunately, it just continues to not be very good. So it's just there, middle of the road, ninth place.
Yeah, unfortunately, Naruto more or less pulled a Bleach in that it started out really good, was good for a while, and then afterward eventually kind of becomes a parody of itself.
Yeah, even I can't believe it.
I'm not even sure which one I would necessarily say was better or worse comparison, because I always feel Bleach, they both went down in quality, but I feel like Bleach was more unintentionally entertaining than Naruto could be. I'm talking like about the manga here. The anime filler, that's a whole different thing in terms of how it can be unintentionally entertaining. Okay. So then that was nine for Attack on sorry, no, wait, I already did nine. It's when I said Attack on Titan. I'm going to eight. Number eight. I feel a little bad putting this as low as it is, because it did start out decent, it stayed decent, but then it just got not good, like much at all. Number eight is Hunter Hunter for me. Just like all, like you, I remember you like telling me about all this how weak it like got later on, and now I'm seeing it, and I'm like, whoa. No. Although at least Ichigo fighting that guy was good. That was like you mentioned, like the bright spot in it. All your warnings were true. Why didn't I heed them? Well, they were going to be true regardless, but yeah, like the Chimera Ant arc, it was decent at first, not as great as some of the stuff that came before, but still decent. And then eventually, it just got weaker and weaker, and now we get to basically have the show narrated to us. So that's number eight for me, Hunter Hunter.
Okay, so my number eight show is right along there with Naruto is Boruto. And the reason why it's higher than Naruto is simply because it has potential, whereas Naruto, we already know how it finishes, so there isn't. I mean, granted, I'm not too spoiled on what exactly happens and who is what and whatever, but Boruto still has potential. There's still the chance that this show like turns into something really great. Now, I'm not holding my breath for that, but for the meantime, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt and put it up here in eighth place and as one of the middle of the road shows.
Okay. All right, so that we've got that. Number seven for me, Haikyuu. I enjoyed it more than you did, but I will admit there was a lot of slow stuff. It does actually, like, a bit after you kind of stopped on it, it does get better. I think it gets into some volleyball games that are a lot more engaging and interesting and sort of character based, but it just took so long to get there, unfortunately. I did still, it's just so, it was so weird an experience to watch through it because, like I said, when I first originally watched through this, I was like, yeah, this is really good. And now when I'm rewatching it, I just was not as into it. Maybe it just, like I speculated before, maybe it worked better if you marathon it, like then you kind of get through some of the slower stuff, faster rather than going week by week. I did want to mention, you mentioned like all the cast being guys. I will say, like, in its defense, I mean, it's a sports series that's kind of like in outside of, like stuff like, like dancing or whatever, a sports team is going to be all people of like the same gender. So when you have something like that, you kind of get forced in to that. That's why, for example, like on Ice Shield 21, you it's extre I mean, sure, you have a few female characters, but they're like, still kind of a bit secondary. They do
Right,
event.
but in Ice Shield 21, they have a bigger role, you know? I mean, they're just non-existent in IQ, you
Okay.
know?
Oh yeah, no, I was going to say yes. But Ice Shield 21 actually by sports series is actually pretty good at sort of balancing the genders. I mean, by the standards of a sports series, but which again, by their nature, is going to heavily favor one over the other. But actually, they do eventually kind of introduce like a sort of female manager character, but we didn't get to that point. But that still, because like I said, sports series, it didn't really bother me that much. But ultimately, I have to agree that it just kind of was a bit dull. It eventually got more interesting, but just kind of slow there. So that's why it ended up being here, unfortunately, for it. Then again, it's like still it's in the top half, so maybe that's not that bad of a fate.
Yeah. Okay, so it's my turn.
Yes.
Okay, seventh place, still in the middle of the road category, would be Black Clover. And Black Clover, I stopped watching, and apparently it got better once I stopped. So I kind of felt like I couldn't put this too low, but I don't know if Asta kept on screaming, and we kept on having rival after rival after rival. Some of the things were just a little too repetitive, but I'm thinking about watching it and starting to get back into it again and see if maybe it piques my interest again. Right now, it's just in the middle of the road with the other average shows, so that's where I've got it at.
Okay, sure. So, let's see. Okay, we're in our top sixes now. Number six for me was Yomushi Petal. It had a pretty strong start, but then it kind of tapered off, and the last few episodes have I've mentioned on the podcast, there just have been a lot bunch of things that I look at and say, this is kind of stupid. Why did they do this? Why didn't they do that? Why is this way? But I mean, I still have hopes for it. The beginning showed it can be good. We're kind of finishing up with this sort of I guess it's a training arc that has had most of the stuff that I haven't really liked in the series. That which was what brought it down. Before this would have been if not for that, this would have been higher. But this other. But like I said, it had a good start, but then it just kind of became not as interesting. Hopefully it'll improve, but for now, this is where it's ended up at number six.
Okay, so we do move into a new tier, and this tier is the overrated but good category. So these are shows that are good, but I don't understand why they are wildly popular and pretty much the only thing people ever talk about or cosplay or anything. It's these two shows. And sixth place will be My Hero Academia. And again, I think it's a good show. I think it's got a lot of good characters. I think it has a fine premise. It has a lot of potential. But at the same time, it feels to me like I'm missing something that everyone else gets. For example, how come every single female character in the show is completely useless? And why can't anyone in this series seem to die? If no one ever dies and no one's even died in a flashback yet, then why should I even worry about any of these characters? Because they're obviously going to win every single battle. So the show has some serious flaws, and until it does something about some of these problems it has, it's going to remain one of these things where I just think of it as overrated and not being able to understand why everyone else loves this thing so much, and why I'm like sitting here on the outside saying, what's so great about this show? So that's where I have it.
Okay. Number five for me, Black Clover. The series did manage to improve, and that's what got it this high for me. It's annoying. It's so annoying to me that the beginning of the series was as weak as it was, because I know I'm just going to pull in the manga, because I kept saying that over and over, but you're going to hear it again, is the fact that things were much better paced. The anime in the earlier episodes put in so much, like they put in some outright filler episodes, they put in padding and stuff in the earliest episodes, a point where you're supposed to be trying to put your best foot forward and get like the viewers interested. And that's where they decided to put all the stuff that normally you only do when you've already got an established audience and they're then willing to put up with it. So that really, so, but as it went on, they eventually did manage to actually sort of step away from that, manages to pace things more like the manga was, or even when they did put in padding stuff, they at least integrated it better and made it not feel as much as like a waste of time. So that's where, so as a result of that, it ended up in fifth place, a pretty good spot for it. And yeah, I don't think I really have much else to say. I do enjoy some of the characters, even if like a bunch of series, this is one of those ones where like the main character you're not as interested in as like the side characters. Like I like Noelle a lot more than Asta. Although I'll say Asta's still better than Yuno. Yuno's like one of the like dullest characters in the series, unfortunately. But yeah, like I said, it started out. I wish I could put this higher, but because of those it being weak for as long as it was, it ended up here. It probably would, if not for that, it probably would be like one or two slots higher if it had managed to retain the quality it had later on throughout the whole thing.
Okay, so number five, overrated but good. Again, this show is good, but it's just overrated, and it's JoJo. So, JoJo, I really liked the whole Egypt arc. I was a big fan of that. I'm not a fan at all of this part four. This part four has really made me wonder what is so great about JoJo. And like I've never gotten in on any of these memes, like it was me, Dio. Like I've never understood why that's even a meme. And
I mean, to be fair, it's real. Most memes, if you look at it objectively, you're wondering why is this a meme? Like, why did the cake is a lie take off? Well, what was so? Why did that happen? Why did that phrase do that?
True. Yeah, so JoJo, it has a lot of potential, but again, all the female characters are useless, and you've got, and this part four just doesn't have any real direction to it at all. So we'll find out where this goes because I heard that one of the upcoming arcs is really good, but I'm not sure which one. So hopefully it gets better. Again, it's not bad, but it, in my opinion, shouldn't be as popular as it is.
Okay, so number four for me, Ice Shield 21. This was a tricky one for me to place because, like, I unfortunately came into it midway at like the start of a filler arc, had to sit through most of the year was spent on filler, and only got into like actual stuff in the last few episodes of this. So to try to compensate sort of for the fact that I missed a lot of episodes, I'm sure I would have liked more. I basically just ranked it according to what I saw and then bumped it up one slot, which means that what I saw would have gone below Black Clover, but adjusting for that put it up one. If I had seen the whole thing from the start of the year with you, it might be even higher, but I don't want to guess too much based on what I would feel. So it ends up here. Because I looked at it and I thought, well, even the filler, it's not, it's kind, it has like weaknesses, but it's still, you know, as far as filler goes, decent. I think my main, like, I looking back, I think my annoyances on it more was just because I came into the series on it. But then towards the end, but there were still some really good episodes in that. And then towards the end of the year, it did take a big spike in quality, which helped put it where it was. It's one of those things where I feel like, you know, if we had like maybe four more episodes, this probably would have jumped up maybe a slot. But yeah, it's a good fun show. The characters were are still interesting. And yeah, you probably would be able to say more about it because you actually saw more of it.
Okay, so as we move into the top four, these are the truly great shows. Now, I don't mean by that they don't have any flaws, but these are shows that if you take the entire body of work, including outside this year, these shows would be considered great shows. So number four is Hunter Hunter. Now, why is it so high whenever this arc sucks so bad? Well, the reason is I have to give kind of like a legacy type of thing to it. For example, Naruto, if I were to be just ranking Naruto's episodes that I've seen this year, it might be a lot lower, but the fact that I know the Naruto character and I know the characters and I like them, ultimately it's hard to put it very low because it's like, well, I still like these characters. I still have a vested interest in it. And so the thing about Hunter Hunter is that, yes, this Chimera Ant arc, it could be very well be right in that category of overrated but good because the show is good, but this arc, everyone seems to like it, and I can't figure out why. And it's been dragging on forever, and it's still got quite a bit more to go. I'm sorry, I'm stammering here a little bit, but Hunter Hunter has some really good things about it. Unfortunately, the Chimera Ant arc is not showcasing any of those really good things. It has some really good characters who have been pretty much shafted and taken out of the fight. I mean, we've focused more on a character named Moral than we have on Gon Okiwa lately. That's how weird it's gotten. And yeah, Hunter Hunter has a lot of problems, but the overall body of work, I can't say that it's a bad show because I really like it, and it's just going through a tough arc, which hopefully has a satisfying enough conclusion to it. We'll see how that goes.
Okay, so now top three. Actually, it's interesting you mentioned in terms of trying to evaluate the whole body of work, which is actually different than me. I try to go directly by just what aired this year. Yeah, some of the shows like Naruto would have been higher if it'd been everything. And actually, if we were counting every thing, this next show would be higher. Number three is World Trigger. I was it's funny because when I it's like I mentioned, it's sort of the opposite of Haikyuu in terms of rewatching. Because when I first watched it, I like the first 10 or so episodes, I was just like I was finding myself bored by a bunch of it, but now rewatching those parts that I previously thought were like kind of boring, I'm like, yeah, no, this was actually pretty decent. Some parts of it were still slow, but it was better than I was kind of giving it credit for at the time. And I actually kind of feel a little bad putting it at number three because I know like if we had started earlier and done like 10 more episodes, this would be number two. And if we like had like 25 more episodes, this would be number one for the year. But as it is now, it just ends up in third place based on well, primarily what I actually watched this year.
Okay. Third place, winning the bronze medal for me this year is, well, as it turns out, the top three are all Toonami shows. So we're doing a podcast called Toonami Therapy, and it's obvious I need some therapy because all the Toonami shows not a single one of them made it into my top three. So we're going with Yo Moosey Pedal in third place. And the reason it's so high is because, well, it had a great start to it. It really had a great setup to it. And, you know, I really got into the characters and stuff. I thought this is going to be a great underdog story. Now, it kind of fell off a little bit because of the fact that it feels a lot more like Haikyuu is now. And like what we're watching now, I feel like it isn't all that different from Haikyuu. And I'm having a hard time explaining how I feel about it. I really like it, but it's not trending in the right direction. It's trending more towards becoming just an average sports anime instead of being something special. I really liked in the beginning how it was teaching the viewers about cycling, and I guess it's still doing a little bit of that, but not as much as it was before. So if it can get back to that, I think that it'll be all right. Hopefully this show makes it worthwhile watching. I know there's a lot of episodes to go, so I don't want to give up on it anytime soon. So, Yo Moosey Pedal third place for me.
Okay, well, since saying what the second place is basically inherently gives away what's the first place, I think we should both just tackle them simultaneously when we do them. So, for me, for number one and number two, you've probably noticed what two shows are left. And, as for the order, you know what order this is going to be. I know what order this is going to be. Former Vice President Joe Biden probably knows what I'm going to put as my number one, which is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, followed by My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's weird when I put My Hero Academia, I ultimately decided second place because while I enjoyed it, it's weird in that it was just to me a consistently very good show. There's like not really any point where I thought, wow, this is like the most awesome thing. Like even some shows underneath it, but it just managed to, for me, be consistently entertaining enough to land itself in second, place. As for number one, like I mentioned, it probably came to no one's surprise that it was going to be JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I will admit that part four has been weaker than part three. It definitely has. It has not been as good as the Egypt arc. Some of the fights haven't been quite as good. There hasn't really been as much of a like plot direction. It's my understanding that there's going to be more of one soon. But on the whole, the show I look forward to the most each week is pretty consistently JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It's the one that I find the most consistently entertaining. It's just the show that I like the most, and it's number one for the year for me.
Okay, so we'll go with second place, the silver medal for me, is going to be ICO 21. And ICO 21 has, you know, some problems where the times when it's not a game, sometimes it can drag on. You can have some of these episodes where you get focused on one character, but it's always the same thing. It's always such and such character is going to quit, and we got to get him to not quit, and then he doesn't quit, and then he becomes better friends with everyone, and everyone's happy. But on the same side, there's a lot of good things about ICO 21, and One of my favorite things is the fact that Haruma's always carrying a gun and
Mm-hmm.
always shooting it, and that is just like instant humor, especially when you consider that in Japan, like there's so much gun control that how in the world? I mean, see, it's stuff like that that makes ICO 21 a great show. And I do also like the fact that they teach American football to an audience that probably has no idea how the sport works. And it really does a great job with that. And you even have female characters involved, which again is something that you don't see in pretty much any Toonami show at all. And so yeah, there's a lot to like about ICO 21. I was going to put it first, but at the last second I reneged on that and I put World Trigger as my number one show. So how did World Trigger go from not even being in my, like, never having heard of it before, to being my favorite show of the year in just a few months? Well, it's because they had two main characters who were developed very well, and we learned a lot about them right off the bat, and then they kept putting them in funny situations and exciting situations. And ultimately, I became very interested in this show, even though I've, by comparison, barely seen it. I feel like this has been the one thing that I've looked forward to more than anything else every week. I always look forward to World Trigger. It's always the thing I watch last because I know that it's going to make me feel good, and then I'm going to be able to do the podcast while feeling positive rather than seeing, Dragon Ball right before I do the podcast and then feeling negative. So, yeah, World Trigger, it really fascinates me that a show has been able to capture my attention this fast. And I can't wait to see what it has in store in the future. And by the way, that also means that World Trigger is the show that wins the year for the two of us because it finishes highest combined rating for the two of us. So just putting that out there.
ICO 21 would be second then, based on that,
Yeah.
also. Okay, well, actually, I had a humorous thought, because you were talking about how, ICO 21 has, like, the female characters, do things, and I was just realizing, of all the shows that aired on Toonami, or even the ones that we covered on this, the show that had the most important female characters was, of all things, Fooly Cooly. I mean, I guess you could also claim Pop Team Epic, but like half of the time they're voiced by guys, so because they keep changing it. That's interesting. I correctly predicted what your top two would be. I just didn't get their order right. Okay. Well, I'm proud to say that I managed to actually put everything in the right category. Go me. Of course, you told me how many were in each category, so that made it easy. I'm sorry, but just as soon as you said overrated but good two shows, I'm like, well, I know what those shows will be.
that was kind of obvious. Hunter Hunter kind of deserved that, but I had to give it the benefit of the doubt just because I've liked it for so long. So, yeah. I guess you're supposed to do it based on what it is this year. But for me, I have a hard time separating myself from my feelings for it from before. So
that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask you this question, but the fact you noted what your that your top three weren't Toonami kind of says it. This year of Toonami was a big downgrade from last year.
Yeah, and even bigger downgrade from 2016, whenever we used to have Kill la Kill and Akame ga Kill. And both of those shows were pretty much on a different level by comparison, especially Kill la Kill. And
I thought Kill la Kill was in 2015. Am I wrong?
Let me check. No, you're right. Yeah, you're right. That's right. That was 2015. Then Akame ga Kill was 2016, right?
Yeah. Kill la Kill was 2015. Akame ga Kill was well, what aired in 2016? I don't. It might have also been in 2015. Let me check. They both have the word "kill" in them. Actually, here's something really funny. Not only do they have the word "kill" in their title, they also are using it for the same pun in Japanese. Because in Japanese, "kiru" can mean to like to cut something or slash something, but it can also mean, you know, like, be used in the sort of English sense of like kill. They both use it in the same pun. Okay. Akame ga Kill was in 2015 and aired a few and 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. But while it was a downgrade, I do have a lot of hopes for next year. Dragon Ball Super is getting into the arc that supposedly is, you know, better. Attack on Titan is getting into like a arc I know is going to be better than the one we just had. JoJo is going. I know they introduce somewhat soon the main antagonist for this arc and sort of set it in more of a direction. And so yeah, there's a number of things that kind of like make me more hopeful for next year. And in terms of Toonami, non-Toonami stuff, I know it's kind of funny to say this considering you put it in first place, but we're not counting a filler arc that happens later. We're done with the weakest stretch of World Trigger. This might be your favorite anime by the time we're done. Okay. So yeah, so that was our year-end best and worst retrospective. These are always fun to do, and yeah. So I guess I don't think there's anything else to really say. Or do you have something to say?
Well, I forgot to say that I wanted to. Also say that I'm probably going to cosplay as Osamu from World Trigger. I was like, how am I going to get, like, what am I going to do for a trigger? And I'm like, maybe I can get a sugar cube or something. And then I was like, so I just searched cubes, and then I found out, ever since the fidget spinner craze happened, there's also fidget cubes. So I bought a white fidget cube, and that's going to go along with my costume. So, yeah, that's going to use as my trigger. So,
okay, yeah. Cool. All right. So I guess that's it for this week. We won't have anything next week because we're going to be busy with some stuff, and Toonami won't be airing, but we'll be back the week after that to get back to covering some of these shows. Oh, another thing that leaves me hopeful for next year, Megalobox has been good so far. Of course, we're two episodes in. For all we know, it could be terrible afterwards, but I'm going to keep up my hope, man. All right, so I guess we will see you in 2 weeks' time then.
Bye, me.